Hi, and welcome to Pete's Pub. I'm your host, Pete Kemmerer. This is episode 3, published on Sunday, July 6th, 2025, and I'm really glad to be with you today. I want to thank everyone who joined me last week for my interview with Denise Stokowski about her excellent book, Let's Talk About It. Denise, like so many of us, has had to overcome a lot to get where she is today, and I'm so happy for her and everyone who manages to find happiness despite the difficulties along the way. I hope her story inspired some of you, despite my questionable and yet-to-be-developed interviewing skills. This week's going to be a lot lighter. The logo for this show says food, drinks, and talk, so I am talking, and I want to share a delicious and easy-to-make meal prep for the week, and my wife Denise's favorite summer drink. I'll have those recipes up in the show notes, but first, I want to tell you a little bit about some of the things that are helping me not focus on current events. The first one's Murderbot, a television series on Apple TV+. It's a dark comedy. I think even Alexander Skarsgård, the star and one of the executive producers on the show, when interviewed, said he wasn't really sure what they were putting out there on this show, but it sure was compelling, and I have to agree. The basic premise of the story is that Alexander plays a security unit, a sec unit, who figures out how to hack his own governing chip and obtain free will. And now that he has free will, he has to all of a sudden decide what he wants to do and what things keep him interested in existing. And one of the things is he downloads and watches a lot of media, especially a really bad science fiction show that's got him compelled to watch every episode. And he learns a lot about humans, or so he thinks he is, through this television show. He is drawn to humans, but at the same time, he's appalled by them. And you really don't know what's coming next. So it's great TV. I'm 8 episodes in. There's 2 more left in the first season. Hoping that they get renewed for a second season, but one never knows with streaming services these days. It certainly is a good series. Apple TV Plus, by the way, doesn't have the most programming, but they do have a very high ratio of quality programming. So I can certainly recommend the service. The second television show that I'm currently fixated on is the 8th season of Somebody Feed Phil on Netflix. This is the story of Phil Rosenberg, who was one of the creators of Everybody Loves Raymond on TV. And Phil's just a mensch, a great guy. He loves food. He travels the world to try different foods. His brother Richard is a producer of the show, and there's a terrific banter between the two of them. On the first 5 seasons or so, he would take a segment near the end of the show and talk to his mom and dad, and his dad usually would tell a joke. Sadly, both his mom and dad have passed since then, and now Phil talks to many of his celebrity friends, and he'll have them do a joke for Max, which was his father's name, which is a really sweet segment. Usually the jokes are pretty funny. So the places he's been, in season 8, he went to Amsterdam, the Basque country of Spain, which was an amazing place, course after course of incredible food at some of the world's greatest restaurants. Boston, Tbilisi, Sydney, and Adelaide, Australia, and Las Vegas, Manila, and Guatemala. Looking forward to those last 3, haven't seen them yet. The first 5 were just exceptional shows, lots of fun. You'd be surprised. I mean, maybe I'm giving away my age a little bit, but I like the cooking shows. I like the food shows. I watch too much HGTV with my wife, perhaps. But it is entertaining television, and Phil is a great guy, and he certainly lightens the mood, and you feel happy when you watch an episode of Somebody Feed Phil. The third thing I want to talk about is a 7-book series called Dungeon Crawler Carl by Matt Dinneman. And specifically, I'm going to refer to the audiobooks that are all available on Amazon right now. They're done by a company called Sound Booth Theater, and an incredible talent named Jeff Hayes, who happens to be the president, CEO, and head voice person for that company. Every voice, save a couple of guest voices, are done by Jeff Hayes. That's all the male voices, all the female voices, the computer voices, the anything you can imagine voices. And he is an amazing talent. The premise of the first book and then the series is that at some point, aliens come to the planet and crush everything that's a building, anything that's an enclosure, a car, a movie theater, any kind of building whatsoever, and everyone in it is instantly killed. If you happen to be outside, you have an opportunity. You have an opportunity to live on the surface, or you can go into the dungeon and you can do your best to survive down there. This is what Carl and his cat do. Carl's cat, Donut, whom he had been babysitting or cat sitting for his ex-girlfriend until he could return Donut, happened to be outside because Donut decided she was going to jump out the window and go after her boyfriend across the way, whom she calls Ferdinand. And once they get down into the dungeon, it isn't long before things really change. And Donut, of course, can speak. The idea is they have X amount of time on each level of the dungeon to survive and get to some staircases that will appear and get down to the next level. And during the period of being on each floor, they are challenged to their limits on survival. Carl's tagline is, "You will not break me." And he is very committed to that. And he wants to break the game. It's an incredible, very detailed series, very video game based, of course. It's a genre called lit RPG. Not everyone's cup of tea, but I can tell you it's compelling and it's character driven. And like any kind of good entertainment, if it's character driven and there's a decent plot at the very least, you're going to be compelled to watch. So here I am, 64 years old, listening to books because the audiobooks are just tremendous, listening to books about video games. So, and in particular, a dungeon crawler. I should say also that there's a dungeon crawler Carl podcast called Hello Crawlers, which is out there right now. And this is put on by three people, Grant Davis, John Rubio, and Martin Thomas. It's interesting because they'll take 8 chapters or so of the book and they'll go through them in detail. And Martin, one of the three, has not heard or read the entire series yet. Matter of fact, he tries not to even read ahead or listen ahead. So he'll stop where he's supposed to stop. He has no idea about what's being foreshadowed or what might happen in the future. And his take on this is very interesting to me. Reminds me of when I first listen through all 7 books, which, by the way, can take you a couple hundred hours. So it's up there. It's close to 200 hours to listen to all the books at this point. But hey, I'm retired. So anyway, Dungeon Crawler Carl, highly recommended. Very interesting, very compelling. I think it's something, if you have some time to pass, check it out, especially on audio. So now on to the food. I like a meal prep. I'm basically too lazy. Plus, I babysit a couple times a week, and I like to have some food just available to me to pop in the microwave and make in 3 minutes and have it be tasty. I'm also one of these weird people that can take food and eat it every day of the week. I don't have a problem doing that. There was a period of my life where I was on a pretty serious no-carb diet, and I would eat a bacon cheeseburger every day. Every day, Monday through Friday. And it didn't bother me one bit. But this is a lot tastier. There's a lot more to it, but there's only 4 ingredients. And it takes me 3 minutes to heat up. So it's pesto chicken and veggies, courtesy of the Tasty website. So what you do, and I'll have this entire recipe in the show notes. You heat a couple of tablespoons of extra virgin olive oil, or EVO, in a large pan over medium heat. Then you add 4 to 8 boneless, skinless chicken thighs, depending on how much protein you want. To be honest with you, I use 3 pounds of chicken thighs because I like to eat a nice lunch. Oftentimes, I won't have breakfast at all. So you season that with salt and pepper and cook them until they're no longer pink in the center. You don't have to brown them up or anything. Then you remove them from the pan and cut them into strips. So after that, take a pound of green beans. Just use frozen green beans to that same pan. And you cook them until they're tender crisp. Then return the chicken strips to the pan and add 2 cups of halved cherry tomatoes and 1/2 cup or more, depending on how much chicken you used, of Barilla pesto, the rustic basil recipe. I gotta tell you, that last part is crucial. Make sure you have either that exact pesto or one that's as flavorful to you. For example, Barilla makes a creamy pesto. No, it doesn't have that rich Tuscan flavor. It doesn't jump out at you and take over that dish. This is a simple dish, and the pesto carries it. So get a hearty, good pesto. Stir the pesto in until it's all incorporated, and then remove the pan from the heat. Divide the dish up into 4 food storage containers. I like to use glass containers that have lockable lids with silicone seals on them. And then once they cool a little bit, close them up and store them in a refrigerator for up to 4 days. I'm not going to lie, I've gone 5 days and I've been fine. So the whole thing takes about 1/2 hour, and you have 4 days of meal prep just waiting for you in the fridge. To heat it up again, just open the lid, cover with a paper towel, microwave it for 3 to 3.5 minutes, stir it up and eat. Absolutely delicious. And it's 4 ingredients. It's crazy how good this stuff is. So then, this is my wife Denise's favorite drink. And she'll probably have one of these today after I'm done recording this podcast, but I do have to get some raspberries. This is called a Floradora. In a cocktail shaker, muddle 4 to 5 nice-sized raspberries with 1/2 ounce of simple syrup or 1/4 ounce of 2-to-1 simple syrup. That's what I use because 2-to-1 ratio simple syrup lasts forever. It's 6 months. You can keep that stuff in your fridge. Add in 1.5 ounces of a good botanical gin. I recommend Revivalist Equinox Botanical Gin. It's made near me in Elverson, Pennsylvania. So if you want to buy local, they will ship to you. Very good gin. And do not use a dry gin in this drink. It just doesn't cut it. 1 ounce of lime juice. Some ice. Close up your shaker and shake it up good until it's well chilled. Then you can double strain it into a Tom Collins glass over ice. I like to make little ice cube balls and stick them in the Tom Collins glass and then pour directly over those. If you like raspberry seeds, just strain out the ice in the shaker and pour everything into the Tom Collins glass. Top it off with some ginger ale to the very top of the glass and then garnish with an orange wheel, lime wheel, and a raspberry. Absolutely refreshing and delicious. And that's it for this week. Let me know if you check out anything from the show. You can reach me at peter.kemmerer, that's K-E-M-M-E-R-E-R, @gmail.com with any or all of your feedback. Or if you want to contribute to the show's content in any way, whether you have a favorite recipe, drink, joke, story, a cause that you support, or you'd like to be a guest on an upcoming show, it'd be great to hear from you. The theme music for Pete's Pub is Hard Fought Victory by Chris Martin and Jeff Harvey at www.purple-planet.com. Please follow or subscribe to Pete's Pub wherever you get your podcasts. And until next Sunday, always remember, if you can be a bass player, be one. If not, date or marry one. Thanks for joining me, and have a great day.